I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Well, that theme song once again reminds us that it's time to look into the Word of God. And it is a good life, and thank you for joining me once again today. We are going to look at our second study, the book of Revelation. This will be study number 28 in our studies. We're going through the book of Revelation right now. We've been going through the entire New Testament, and we're covering each book as we do that, and it's a bird's eye view for me and you. It's not an in-depth study, but it gives us an overview of what each book of the Bible is about. Now, in Revelation, we're going to look today at once again, the purpose of the book, and we see that, first of all, the author of the book was the Apostle John, and it was written to Christians who were feeling defeated in the first century, and I would say that it's also written to you and I today. The key verses, I believe, in Revelation are chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and actually chapters 4 and 5, those chapters. And Revelation 1:19, it says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." The purpose of the book, once again, is to present Jesus Christ as the King. Revelation 1:5, 5:13, Revelation 17:14, and Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16, talks about this. It's also to present Jesus as the Lion, or the Victor. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, speaks of this. And then it's also to present him as the Lamb, as a Lamb. Revelation 5, 6 through 14, and many other verses, talks about Jesus as the Lamb of God. And then we want to look today at the purpose of our study at hand. The purpose today is for us to study and to present the rapture of the church. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." And of course, this is written to one of the seven churches that we read about in the book of Revelation. And then in Revelation chapter 4, and verse 1, it says, "I know thy works," in verse 8 there of chapter 3. But verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." This, of course, is what many Bible scholars believe is pointing to the rapture of the church. We don't read about the church from this point on until we get over into where it speaks of the bride. And, of course, the church is the bride of Christ. Well, what about the certainty of the rapture? Some would have you to believe that it is not certain, but the Bible speaks that it will certainly happen. In John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We go to be with Jesus at death. Our bodies are placed in the ground, but one day the Bible says that we're going to come out of that ground with new bodies. But in the meantime, we're not just sleeping. The Bible teaches us that we are now with the Lord once we have left this body. There's coming a time when the dead in Christ shall rise, and that's people who have gone on before. And also it says that we which are alive shall be caught up in the air with them to be forever with the Lord. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Well, there's many other verses that point to the rapture of the church, but we want to look now at something else concerning the rapture and the time of the rapture. Of course, the time of the rapture is unknown. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Gentiles, of course, is the completion of the church. It's when Jesus says, come up hither. That is the completion of the church, and that's the fullness of the Gentiles. Matthew 16:18 says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not upon Peter, but upon this rock, speaking of Jesus himself, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, the time of the rapture is unknown. What about signs of the rapture? Of course, there are none. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We do not know when the rapture is going to take place, but let me say this, that it is close. The participants in the rapture, first of all, will be those who are first to go. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And this is what I was speaking of earlier, that those people who have gone on before the rapture, those people who have died in Christ, will come back with him. And, of course, their bodies will be the first to be changed. Well, who will come with the Lord when the rapture takes place? Once again, in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Why? Because they are to receive their new bodies at that time, just as we're going to receive ours if we're alive when he comes at the rapture. We will receive ours as they receive theirs, and they're going to get theirs first, because as the saying goes, why are they being caught up first? Because they have further to go, because they're 6 feet. They're down, their bodies are 6 feet down, and their bodies will be changed. The first to be raptured are also those who come with the Lord. And there's no discrepancy when we read these verses concerning that. Those who come with the Lord are coming for their new bodies. Well, what about who are the second to go? In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together and with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Who are those who do not go? And, of course, those who go are us who are alive. And I'm looking for the Lord at any time. Once again, there are no signs pointing to the rapture. There's no set time that we're given that the rapture will take place, but I'm looking for him at any moment. Well, what about those people who do not go, the non-participants of the rapture? And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those people who are not saved, those people who have never trusted Christ, will not go in the rapture. Well, the rapture is going to be sudden, and we've already read Revelation 4:1, but notice 1 Corinthians 15:52. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those people who have died and gone on before will be changed, just as you and I, if we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, all of those people who have trusted Jesus, if the rapture would take place right now, our bodies would be changed to be fashioned like his. Well, there's many other aspects that we could look at here. Let's look at one other thing, to look at the question, is the rapture the second coming of the Lord? Well, at the rapture, only believers will see Christ, according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. At the second coming of the Lord, every eye will see him. Now, at the rapture, only those people who are saved will see him. But at the second coming, every eye, according to the Bible, will see him. Notice in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. This is after the resurrection of the Lord and during his ascension back into heaven. It says there in Acts 1:11, it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee. Now, there was two men standing by, and they were telling the apostles and disciples and all the witnesses of Christ going up into the air. It says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Speaking of people who are alive, those people who are alive during the coming again of our Lord, in other words, the second coming, men, women, and children will see the Lord descending in the clouds. And Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Now, we're going to speak more on this topic in our next study as we look into the book of Revelation. Well, another reason for the purpose of this study is to gain insight as to the Great Tribulation. Daniel 9:24 through 27 speaks of the Great Tribulation. And when will the Great Tribulation begin? Of course, the Bible teaches us that it's going to be after Christ removes his church. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And once again, in 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 56, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And it's speaking of the church here. It's talking about us, those people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. We make up the church, and the tribulation will not start until the church has been taken out. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will be let until he be taken out of the way." And I believe that's speaking of the Holy Spirit working through the church. Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." That's us who have trusted Jesus as Savior, members of his church, of his body. We're not appointed to tribulation, to the wrath that's coming on this world, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would ask you today, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted him today? If not, you can be ready for the rapture. It could take place at any moment. Why not ask him to come into your heart right now? Trust him. Ask him to save you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as Savior. Now, simply saying a few words is not going to save you. You've got to believe. The Bible says what? You know, it says, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Bible answers that question. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If you'll ask him to come into your heart, be willing to turn from your sin. Ask him to come into your heart, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ask him to come into your heart today, and he'll save you so you can go to heaven, so you can be ready for the rapture when it takes place. It's been good being with you today, and next time we're going to continue our study in the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at some other things that's about to happen. And my prayer for you is that you know Jesus as your Savior. Let me invite you to look at our website today, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. You can get a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life on that website, lrwm.org. Also look up the website, BibleTranscripts.com, who supplies the transcripts for our program. May the Lord bless you richly. Until next time is my prayer.